I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. Hour of the Annie Fry Show is sponsored by The Loading Dock, with a unique and beautiful ice skating rink to enjoy this time of year. Go to GraftonLoadingDock.com.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what you're talking about.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
For goodness sake, Kith, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio. I'm not America's
sweetheart. This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome to the Annie Fry Show today. My name is Mike Elam, sitting in for Annie today. I guess John Hancock was here yesterday. Is that correct?
No, that is incorrect.
Oh, I thought he was.
It was double Brad yesterday because we had Brad Range, who was normally here, producer, of course. Brad Young was sitting in your seat.
Well, I like to refer to it as Brad Squared.
Mm-hmm. Brad Squared. Mm-hmm. Two times Brad, no waiting. I did not know yesterday. I was busy all day yesterday. I was basically going from a Zoom meeting to a WebEx meeting to a Teams meeting. It just depends on who you're setting your meeting with. And I was talking to people all over the place, and it was just at one point I got up to do a facilities tour, as I call them. And boy, my knees were just creaking because I had been sitting for so long. I'm like, I need a break. But I had heard that John was going to be doing the show. So
we had heard the same thing.
and then Brad walked in.
And we said, "You don't look like John.
You don't look like John."
It was very efficient yesterday, though. I really appreciated having Brad here because I could just say, "Hey, Brad," and everybody would respond. Normally, I have to say, "Hey, Brad," and "Hey, Annie," and the audience just gets tired of waiting for me to get through that. Yesterday, boom, 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 we were moving.
I mean, he's not wrong. The audience does get tired of waiting for him.
So I've heard. I may have been part of one of those discussions at one point. Well, so Mike Elam, County Councilman, St. Charles County, District 3. Brad is here. Ryan is here as the regular cast of characters. Hannah will join us at some point. She is out. What are you doing? Is she out logging all kinds of stuff that we're doing
right
now?
She is doing associate producer stuff.
I just found out that she is a Rockwood Summit girl, and she was in the young lady, maybe I shouldn't say girl, right? That was bad.
I don't know what any of those words mean. I don't know what Rockwood Summit is or anything.
Anyway, Clay Ziegler was her radio teacher, and Clay and I have known each other for a really long time, going back to when our boys were young, and they played baseball together. So we coached baseball together, which for Clay, that was good because the kids learned from Clay, because Clay knows a lot about baseball, and I love football, but my son wanted to play baseball, and we didn't have a lot of other coaches. So I did a lot of side coaching, we'll call it. I was not the main guy, because that would not be fair to the young men who were playing on my team.
Thanks for the behind the scenes. We call that a little inside baseball in radio.
No, and literally inside baseball at this point, which it may be the only baseball that you get for a really long time.
Until Kevin Wheeler.
Yeah.
Wait, oh, I was teasing the show. You're talking about actual players.
Actual baseball. And Kevin Wheeler will be here in about an hour from right now.
107.
We will check in with Kevin, and we will find out what is the latest going on in the sports world. Baseball and everything else that's going on. Big Ben announced his retirement from the Steelers.
So he's done. I mean, that's the end of an era in Pittsburgh.
It really is. And which you know, there's a lot of end of eras in Pittsburgh today. You know, Ben's done, a bridge is done, so we'll talk a little bit more.
You know, it's so weird because that bridge collapsed. I think it said that either 10 were injured or 10 dead. I don't remember which.
I think it was injured.
I was hoping injured because I didn't want to report the other one.
Right.
But but Biden's headed there today.
Yeah. So Brad and I were talking about that before the show started today. And like, isn't it ironic that this bridge, who I guess was going to be the point that they were going to say, look how bad infrastructure is. This is why we need this stuff to happen. But the day that Biden's going to show up is the day that it collapses. Either there may have been something to that.
I know where your mind's going.
I'm not trying. Yeah.
But your mind still goes there.
Right.
It's wait, that's a really good exclamation point on your point there.
Exactly. I really wanted to have a different backdrop, so this crushed bridge would really be helpful if anybody might help me make that happen.
Yeah, you're going to stand up there and go, well, if Republicans would have passed this sooner.
Exactly. Well, that bridge would still be there, and those people would not be injured today.
So here's a question for you. This is inside baseball.
Hey,
okay.
We've got a theme.
So the law passes, the infrastructure law.
Right.
A lot of money spent. I think it was $1.2 trillion, somewhere
right
in there.
That used to be a lot of money.
Yeah, now that's, so bad. It's nothing compared to Build Back Better.
Uh-huh.
So we go forward now, and there's money being allocated to different projects. But that takes some time, right?
Right. So, it's D.C. It takes years.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of my point, is by the time that money is actually ready to be spent,
right,
we'll be, assuming Republicans take back Congress, will they actually be the ones determining how that money is spent?
So normally the way you see things work out, and I'd be curious to hear if this is the same impression that you guys have. Once the elected folks actually allocate funds, more times than not, the bureaucrats take over at that point, and they're the ones that decide where all this stuff's going to get spent. So they'll push it out to Federal Highway and Transportation, and they will be the ones doing it. So, I mean, you've got Pothole Pete, as I saw him referred to last night on Tucker Carlson, which I thought was hilarious. So Pothole Pete is going to be the one who's going to get to decide where we're going to spend this money at that point, because I think all the electeds are going to really be able to do is figure out how they're going to cut it up, how much of this is going to go where, and then it's going to go to the bureaucrats to decide who has the worst infrastructure and how is it all rated. We have, I want to say there's 4,000 bridges in the United States that are rated unsafe, and Missouri has a ton of them.
Well, nobody's saying that we shouldn't have fixed infrastructure.
Right.
That's actually one of conservatives' points of government that should exist.
Right.
You know, like military, make sure things don't fall into anarchy, policing, and infrastructure.
Right.
That kind of stuff is the role of government.
That's like the main role of government, right? Make sure our water's clean for drinking and make sure that we don't get invaded by another country.
Yeah. But that's what's it's been co-opted, because, and that's why I asked the question, because who's getting to spend the money,
right,
is the question. Is this going to go to all politicians' friends in probably mostly blue states, or will Republicans have any oversight over it either now or in the future?
Well, I would say until next year, depending on what happens with elections this year, until next year, I would say no, Republicans aren't going to have anything. So I would think it is in the Democrats' best interest, just like they're going to try to do with the Supreme Court nomination, to fast track this stuff as much as they possibly can, because they know what's waiting for them. Mm-hmm. They know what's coming. And it's funny, being on Reardon's roundtable from time to time and sitting with Democrats in the room and them admitting months ago, Jeff Rainfield and Jane Duker were in here We were talking months ago about they've already given up on the midterms for the House. Like, they just, everybody assumes House is gone, right? Unless you're the folks discussing the 627153 version of the congressional map in Missouri. And then whatever Missouri does by those arguments is going to determine who's in charge of the House. Seriously, I was listening to some stuff yesterday and day before, and I heard one of the people actually go through and say that. But that's another discussion for another topic. Okay. When you're going through all of this, I would think it's in the Biden administration's best interest to fast-track as much of that money as they can. What I find really interesting these days is the broader discussion that the Democrats are trying to do, and you've seen Mayor Pete get hammered about this lately in the press, what qualifies as infrastructure? We have a definition that I think we have all worked off of all my life, pretty much. Roads and bridges is what we've called infrastructure. We all agree on that. All of a sudden, this past couple of years, because of what happened with COVID and changing our paradigm of how we live, work, go to school, all those things, broadband became part of the structure. And being someone who now works in the broadband industry, I was very happy that broadband was part of it. But I think that just speaks to the technology of where we are and how that affects our life and how we work these days. Getting into all the other stuff that they want to add, right? Climate change is part of infrastructure. No, it's not.
Well, they'll say, here's how they get around it, though, right? Is they'll say, well, we want to put new rules on cars and emissions.
Right.
And because cars are related to roads are infrastructure, that's all infrastructure. But it's all this backdoor kind of stuff. And it's not that they're open about their agenda, but they're very conniving in the way they're getting it across through things like infrastructure, basically changing the English language to do it.
But I love the fact that you just brought that up, because yesterday there was that big accident that happened, and it was a truck that had all these batteries that was on it, and the batteries got spilled out and caught on fire and started burning, right? So it's different to fight a battery fire than it is a gasoline fire. You use different things to do it because you can't just spray water on it, right? So it's a different way that they're going to fight that fire. I find it very interesting when I talk to my liberal friends that are all just as green as they can be, right? If it's green, it's for me. And they're all on board with all of this stuff. Whenever you start looking at batteries, it's a discussion that I find doesn't really get a lot of detail colored in on it.
It's not really discussed.
No. And engines have a lifespan.
Mm-hmm.
Cars have lifespans. Anybody used a battery in your life, right? They die, and you can't recharge them after a while. Even the rechargeable ones don't take a charge after a
There's
while.
There's a lifespan.
Anybody who's had a smartphone understands eventually your phone just won't hold a charge anymore. You got to get rid of the battery. You can't just throw it into a landfill. I mean, that's a whole lot of trouble waiting to happen here. And we've seen what happens when you put stuff that turns really toxic in landfills, and they see it over in Maryland Heights with what's going on in that big mess of the underground fire that's burning there. But they want to talk about all of these things like you're saying. They want to reframe the conversation, and they want to throw that in there as part of infrastructure. But they leave out a lot of information that's really germane to the conversation that they don't want to talk about. Batteries. I always love this fact. If you live in Missouri has a lot of electricity, almost all of it, that is fueled by coal-fired power plants. So the green people, right, are being all green because they're charging their cars, which, did you hear, we're getting a new Tesla dealership in South St. Louis. They're gonna build a new Tesla dealership. Great. I love Teslas. I think they're amazing. I don't have the money to buy one, but, you know, I don't have Musk money. But it's a cool car. I like riding in them. But they have big batteries, right? What are you going to do with these when they're done? But when you're charging your Tesla, you do realize you're using electricity that is made from a coal-fired power plant. So how far along that energy chain do you want to go back and consider yourself green, because couldn't you make the argument if you continue to use these rechargeable battery type cars, aren't you really pushing more coal into the environment because we've got to get the energy to you, and that's at least for the foreseeable future how we're going to do it?
Well, yeah. The argument I think from the other side is that, well, we'll switch to green forms of energy, be it solar or wind or whatever. The problem with that is those technologies aren't up to the task, and I'll say up to the task yet.
Right.
We're making tremendous strides. We're making tremendous progress, but it's not up to the task yet. So they're talking about taking, you know, this electrical grid and placing more stress on it with all the charging that's going to happen with these electric vehicles.
Exactly.
And then the source of the electricity isn't up to the task. So if you do it that way, you know, I mean, we already see in California rolling blackouts and that sort of thing because they can't keep up with air conditioners.
You saw it in Texas last year during the winter where the infrastructure wasn't there and it all fell apart.
Right. So they have to, like, I agree. Let's take care of the environment. Let's do that. But let's do it in a sensible way, not in a full throttle, you know, we got to do it right now sort of thing.
There's all kinds of stuff that we are going to talk about over the next 3 hours. And that's just something that when you said that, it reminded me when you said the car thing, because I always love having those conversations with my liberal friends and go, you know, your green car is making us burn an awful lot of coal. If you want to see their head explode, have that conversation with them for a little bit. Because they really hate it. That was my Joe Biden press conference. They really hate it. Just lean in and whisper. And evidently that makes a point better.
Can you not do that?
Okay.
That makes everybody really uncomfortable.
I will never do that again. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to The Annie Fry Show. Mike Elam filling in today on 97.1 FM Talk.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show. Interact with Annie on Facebook. The Annie Fry Show.
I do like that song. That's just a fun song.
Everybody loves that song.
Isn't it?
It's a good song. It's hard to hear. It's hard to ever have a song that the first time you hear it, you go, man, I like that song. That's one of those.
It is. It's one of those songs that just makes you feel good, right? So And it's one of those kind of songs I think is going to stand the test of time, to where you can listen to that song and it's not going to sound dated. Mm-hmm. There is a song that I can't remember the name of it right now, but I always remember, oh, sure, Mark, just walk in, leave a door open. I see how this works.
No, don't give him any promotion.
No, there you go. Reardon's here early today doing stuff, so he just walked in, dropped some stuff in the studio, and then ran off and left the door open. So I see how this stuff goes. Completely lost my train of thought. Oh, so there was a movie in the 80s called Valley Girl. I don't know if you've ever heard of this movie. It was not award-winning. I'll just say that, right? This was no Academy Award type thing. Nicolas Cage was in it, though. It was an early Nicolas Cage movie.
Comparable to Chariots of Fire?
It's right there.
Right there.
Right,
okay.
Right there. Just a little different, right?
Okay.
So it's It's definitely 80s all over the place. Valley Girl, obviously, as the name implies. So their soundtrack of that, they had a song that was in there. Now, this is mid-80s, right, that the song came out. I still hear it on the radio today, and for the life of me right now, I can't remember what it is. But it's just one of those songs that has been around for 40 years, and it still sounds relevant today. Like, it doesn't sound dated. So that's one of those songs I think that is going to be able to do
I know we're
to.
Talking about Supreme Court here, but we do.
We haven't told anybody else that.
No, that's true. So, you know, well, now they know.
Now they know.
And now where
we were going
that's good
to.
Radio, right?
Thanks very much.
But listen, because I don't know how we get there from here.
Okay.
Because I do want to out myself and say that one of those songs to me, that the first time I ever heard it, I was like, that is a really good song.
Still the one.
No.
But we do
although
love
maybe,
Orleans, you know?
I don't remember.
We do
I didn't
love
have
it.
A moment with that song like you want me to.
You had a moment with
I
Still
did
the
not.
One? Oh, you did
I was
not.
Hugging his pillow okay. and dancing.
No, I remember hearing the song Blurred Lines by Robin Thicke.
Yes.
First time I ever heard it. I'm like, darn it, that is a good song. And that song's going to be around for a long time. Boy, was I wrong about that. You don't ever hear that one. But it's still really good. Fine. Now Supreme Court.
Jeez. That's,
What are you doing? Are you looking up the song you can't remember the name of?
I am. It's I Melt With You from Modern English. That's what it is.
I
Melt With You from Modern English. We'll find that at some point. But
listen to this. Listen to this transition. This is professional radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ryan Wiggins.
The moment that I heard Blurred Lines.
Yes.
I was in a Dairy Queen drive-thru. I remember the moment that I heard it. I don't know why, but I do. Now, where were you when you heard that Stephen Breyer was retiring?
I was sitting at my desk and I got an alert on my phone that Stephen Breyer was retiring.
What was your reaction?
My reaction was they finally got enough pressure on him or they put together a good enough financial incentive package for him to get him.
They bribed him.
Tell me what changed his mind.
I personally think it was the billboard truck that they parked outside of SCOTUS.
Every day. You got to think about it.
So you got to love the fact that and before I say this, we're equally a pain in the butt these days internally with our parties, right? Republicans, especially in Jeff City right now, can't throw enough trash at other Republicans right now, which violates Reagan's number one rule of never speak ill of another Republican. We'll talk about that later on today because Ron Hicks is on at 2 o'clock this afternoon and state representative from St. Charles County. And we'll talk a little bit about how the Republicans can't seem to bury each other fast enough in Jeff City these days. But the Democrats have figured out the way that they want to get people to change their mind and get them to vote or take action differently is just bully the heck out of them as much as they possibly can. I mean, you saw what they did with the senators by, you know, protesting outside of their house with Manchin, following her into the bathroom. Hey, I'm just trying to spend a couple of minutes alone here and do a facilities tour. You can harass me when I walk out. You don't need to follow me into the stall to tell me about how bad I am. So Kristen Sinema is just, I see her walking through airports and these people coming up to her and just berating her for how she won't vote on these things.
Can you imagine standing in a urinal and the stage fright you'd have with a bunch of people standing around you like that? I can't.
So, Ryan.
I feel like I would just slide over and offer him a seat next to me.
Well,
like, come on.
Oh, you're sitting down to pee.
Yeah,
now.
let's have a conversation. Well, that's not why I'm sitting down.
It
to
is.
Pee,
it is a woman that we were talking about. It was a woman, so I'm assuming that she was in a stall.
You would
assume. I haven't been in that airport bathroom, so I don't know that for sure. Just disclaimer. But you've seen that this is the way that they're doing things. They've done this to Breyer. They've been doing it to him for a while now. And they've been basically telling him, as soon as we have a Democrat in charge, you need to go away because they don't want to run into what they had happen.
There are reports that they pulled him into meetings during Obama's tenure and said, what's your plans? Because we got plans for you.
Yeah.
And he didn't take the bait, and neither did Ginsburg, because I think they did the same with her.
I think so, too.
So what they were afraid of is what happened with Ginsburg.
Right.
Now, that's probably why Breyer has decided, because he did decide.
He did.
I'm sure he got pressure, but he did decide to retire.
Well, you know, he had pressure from the very beginning, but he had pushed back for a while where he was worried about Biden trying to stack the court. He is not in favor, nor was Ginsburg,
no,
in favor of adding justices to the court. Like, we're going to go to 13 so I can throw four in there, and now all of a sudden I can have a liberal opinion coming out of this court. I mean, you have Roberts, so do you really need 13? I mean, you can pretty much count on him to side with you for whatever reason. I still don't know what's wrong with that dude.
That guy sits down to pee. Hopefully that gets edited from the podcast.
Not a chance, Ryan.
True words have probably never been said. So I just find it interesting that we got to this point, and this is how it's going to be. But Biden, let's go to number two here. Biden has decided who he's... Yeah, speaking of sitting down to pee, we're going to cut number two here. So Biden has some thoughts on who needs to take his place.
The person I will nominate will be someone with extraordinary qualifications, character, experience, and integrity. And that person will be the first black woman ever nominated to the United States Supreme Court. It's long overdue, in my view. I made that commitment during the campaign for president, and I will keep that commitment.
So I hear that Tyrus was a big fan of this wording and going in and saying, hey, let's make sure that we find the very best candidate, full of integrity, qualified for the job, and she's going to be a black female.
Yeah, Tyrus had some choice words on it. Ryan, I don't know if you got to hear the interview or not, but he was upset. He said he hates it, I think was the exact phrase that he used. He says, I absolutely hate this. He said, "What all you're doing is giving the real racists an opportunity to complain about this new justice because of the color of her skin."
But I think it fits right in line with how he has done all of his appointments to this point. When he put his cabinet together, we did not get a cabinet that was, look how good these people are in their particular areas of qualification. We didn't get that at all. We got, I need to check a box of something that my liberal folks will love, and I'm going to put them in that place. I want you to be the first insert minority clause here in my cabinet, right? And we didn't really hear anything about, are you qualified? So Mayor Pete, Pothole Pete, we make him Secretary of Transportation. What does this guy know about transportation?
Oh, I can answer that question. He's actually overqualified for that position because he stepped out of the presidential race and endorsed Biden.
Exactly.
And that's how you are qualified to get a cabinet position.
He's a team player.
That's right.
I will give you that. He is a team player. But that doesn't mean you know anything about transportation, to your point.
Wait a minute.
I love that.
You mean if I step out of the race right now, not only do I not have to do anything, you're going to make me the chief of whatever, and I'll get paid like $200,000 a year? Okay, that sounds pretty good. Oh, wait, there's a transportation crisis. Whoops.
Hang on.
I'm in the headlines again.
But I can't really deal with that right now because I'm on paternity leave.
For 2 months
while the country goes to hell in a handbasket with a transportation crisis. I'll get back to you on that once we're done here.
But if I post a picture of my baby, everyone will defend me.
Exactly.
So that's what I'm going to do.
You know, I really don't care what your status on that stuff is. Like, I thought, so Martin Luther King talked about the fact, I want my children to be judged by the content of their character, not by the color of their skin. Can't we get to that with everything? Like, why do we have to keep checking boxes? And I want to put you in a group. I'm going to subset everybody out, right? And I'm going to create subsets of subsets that I can put in. And then I will call you the first whatever of that subset and say, look how diverse I am. Mm-hmm. It's all about making sure that we have the most diversity we've ever had. Okay, I'm not opposed to diversity. I really am not. I don't care if you're If you're gay, straight, black, white, Latino, Asian, insert whatever group you want to put here, right? I don't care about that. I care, are you qualified to do the job? Because if you are not, the rest of us are all going to pay the price of you deciding it's more important to check a box of this particular category than it is to make sure that I've actually got somebody who has the qualification needed to perform the duty. Can you go find a black female who's going to be a great Supreme Court justice? I'm sure you can. I'm sure they're out there, right? I'm sure you can go get them. Who is that person?
Condoleezza Rice.
I was just about to say that. Thanks for beating me to the punch. But then again, I wanted her to actually run for president, or at least run for vice president. I really wanted, when Trump was picking a VP, I really wanted Condoleezza Rice to be his VP. I really like her. She's super smart. She knows how the world works. She understands how everything is laid out. She would have been a great choice, and I still think she would be. But she's too smart to get involved in all of the pettiness that we have going on in politics these days. And she just stays above the fray, which is probably another reason why I like and respect her. Is he going to pick Condoleezza Rice? Hell no, he's not going to pick
her. Well, that's the point. That's the whole point of what you're saying, though.
Yeah.
Is everybody knows, everybody, not just those of us in this room and those of us listening to us right now, or even on the right or in the middle.
Right.
The left knows it, too.
Yeah.
That this actually has nothing to do with race or gender. It's all ideology.
Yes.
Because if it were, well, I can't find a black female who's super far left, it would be like, you know who we love? We love old white guys. If you could find 15 of them that were way far left, they'd be touting they'd be singing the praises of old white. It doesn't matter. They just want somebody who's going to vote like they do. They don't care about race and gender at all.
I think they care about voting like they do, and they care about checking a box because it plays to the base. And we'll see where this thing plays out. So Brad's here. Ryan's here. My name is Mike Elam, sitting in on the Annie Fry Show. Coming up, we're going to talk about Wiggins America. It's a unique America. That's a utopia for all of us to live in. The Annie Fry Show. Mike Elam on 97.1 FM Talk.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
This is the Annie Fry Show. Interact with Annie on Facebook. The Annie Fry Show.
I still wake up. I still see a ghost. Oh, Lord, I'm still not sure what I stand for. What do I stand for? What do I stand for? Most nights I don't know anymore.
So the old radio DJ in me says, I can't talk over the vocals. I've got to wait for that post to hit so then I can actually break in. Brad's pointing to me like, hey, you can start talking at any particular time.
Yeah, but talk radio is the reverse of music radio.
It really is.
So you wait for the post to start.
It's just hard to do that. Hey, Everybody, my name is Mike Elam, sitting in for Annie today on the Annie Fry Show. I hope you're having a wonderful Friday. It is Friday Fun Day, and we are here to get into all of the fun, exciting topics that you need to know about. How do you do that best? Ladies and gentlemen, you step in to Wiggins America.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
That was really big.
Thanks. I was trying. Did I oversell it,
no,
or was it okay?
No. Well, some days I'd say, yeah, you probably oversold it.
But today?
Not today.
Hey!
This is a really interesting. How do you feel about bipartisanship at the federal level, in the Senate specifically?
Is there such a thing?
apparently it does exist.
What?
Yeah, and you don't hear much about it. So I'm doing a dive here. This has been going on behind the scenes a little bit because anything that's happening bipartisan, it never gets any attention.
Right.
It does happen, surprisingly, I'm going to say more than you think, but it happens, period. Therefore, it's happening more than you think.
True. Right? Generally, I think it's on more of the mundane type of, as I call them, the non-sexy issues. Those things get pushed through more procedurally, and we never really talk about it.
Now, but more and more issues are sexy issues.
This is true.
Because in the past, something like Border Patrol, that would have been a mundane issue.
Not now. It's not. Right.
There's a lot of that kind of stuff. Spending and stuff like that.
2 million people cross a border. Suddenly it changes its perspective.
Well, when one party says, come on in,
yes.
That's why that happens. Because if it were a mundane detail, that wouldn't be happening. So here's the deal. This is a bipartisan effort that's going on. Apparently has the quiet support of Chuck Schumer. They're not even completely sure if he really is on board or if he's just not against it.
He's a definite maybe.
And then McConnell says the same thing. Well, we'll see what this little commission comes up with, and we'll take a look at it. This is to change the Electoral Count Act from 1887. So what does that mean?
Change it how?
So this would have changed the entire debate around Mike Pence on January 6th.
Okay.
Would he have the authority to either declare two slates of electors because some states were doing that, who sent the electors. Apparently, it was falling to Mike Pence to determine that, or at least people thought that it was, because we don't really know what happened because he didn't do it.
Okay.
He just kind of continued the tradition, but there was a lot of, you know,
people wanted him to.
What could he do? What would happen if he did?
Right.
We still don't know the answers to those questions. This is a bipartisan commission to basically firm those answers up.
Okay.
And to declare that the vice president does not have the power to do that. And it depends on which senator you're talking about, because we talk about different sides. You got some independents in there, like Angus King from Maine.
Right.
You got a lot of the kind of the middle ground senators are leading this thing, which tells me there could be some future for this. Because when you get Susan Collins on one side and probably a Murkowski or somebody else in this thing, and then you also have Manchin and Sinema, and you got some of the independents, not the Bernie independents, but the actual independents. It says that there may be something to this. And when the Senate leadership on both sides says maybe there's something to this, it could pass. So what would the changes be?
Yes.
It looks like they would be things like determining what the vice president's role is in counting the electors, which does need clarification.
It does.
Regardless of, because picture this a few years from now. Kamala Harris stands up there. Donald Trump just won the election. And she says,
Not counting.
And we're not going to count Texas this time. You know, that's what this is trying to avoid. And so, in a way, getting past Pence and looking forward, this actually might benefit Republicans, at least short term, if they can pass this.
True.
Long term, we don't know. I mean, who knows what the future holds. But gives members of Congress open-ended power to object to electors. So it's sort of limiting. Sorry, I said that a little bit backwards. It's limiting that power.
Okay.
So they're the Hawleys and the Cruises were supposed to object in this last one.
Right.
And other senators have done this before, so it's not new.
No.
This would limit their ability to do that, which I actually don't know why you would do that. Why? You mean, let them object. That's part of the process. But that's being discussed. And the vice president, and then also the ECA currently permits states to appoint new electors if an election has, quote unquote, failed.
Huh.
But nobody has ever defined what does it mean that it failed.
That was about to be my next question. How do we define failed?
Yeah. So a lot of this would just be clarifying things. And if you would have asked me a year ago if I liked that, I would have said in theory, yes. But I was actually kind of, I wanted to see what would happen if Pence did say we need clarification here, because I don't know what would have happened. I would have liked to have seen some clarification on some of these, especially states that sent dual electors, dual slates. You can say that, well, they weren't official dual slates. And that's the argument against them, is that they didn't actually, they come from a different part of the legislature from each state or things like that.
Right.
But I think we're into constitutional muddy ground here, which is why I kind of would have liked to have seen what would have happened. almost just as, out of curiosity. But going forward, I also, other side of this, I would like to see some clarification so that we have that clarity instead of leaving it up to chance.
So I've used this expression a number of times. So Brené Brown wrote this book called Dare to Lead. And I don't remember a ton about the book, but there is one thing that I always remember from her. Clear is kind. Unclear is unkind. And she's speaking more in a management standpoint of, hey, don't be mad at the people that you give tasks to that don't complete them the way you wanted to when you didn't give them clear instructions on how you wanted the task done. So if you weren't clear on what you wanted and they bring you back something different, don't be mad at them for doing that. This is another one of those instances where when we're looking at something that important, it needs to be clear. What are the powers? What are the restrictions? What can you do? What can you not do? Because if you get into that and you try to figure it out in the middle of a partisan fight, there is no way to be clear, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to base their opinion on that situation. And I will tell you, so many times when you have something that comes before a legislative body and they have to make a decision, more times than not, you will see a legislative body make that decision based on the current circumstances and the current situation. They don't have a long-term view. So I can appreciate the fact that they're doing this not in the middle of a situation that needs to be solved now. They can take a little bit of time and figure it out. But whenever you have powers like that, that, as you said, are muddy, they shouldn't be muddy. They should be clear. And you have constitutional scholars who like to make a lot of money as consultants in these things, because the more muddy they are, the more money they make. Mm-hmm. So the clearer they are, the better I think we're all going to be moving forward.
And that's my fear of where we're at now, is that at this point, you'd almost think that Democrats would be hesitant to sign this or to go forward with it, because in the immediate, you'd almost like to give Kamala Harris that power in 2025. So if they are to sign on for this, I think that's probably a good thing at this point, because we're only, like you said, we're only talking about long-term clarification,
right?
Which is necessary. This is the purpose of amendments. This is why our system is set up this way, so that you can fill in the holes. Because in the Constitution, it was one way, and then the Electoral Count Act of 1887 came along and said, let's clarify this, and it didn't quite clarify it enough. So then you maybe come along in 2022 and you get a new one that says, let's further clarify this to determine who has what power. And constitutionally, you're really getting back to the Constitution, because it doesn't say what the vice president's supposed to do. What this would clarify is that constitutionally, the state's legislatures have the power to declare electors. Or at least by default, it would be declaring that, because
right.
It wouldn't be saying the vice president could do anything, so it would default back to the states.
Well, we've had interesting discussions about that over the past election, where, hold it, it says in the Constitution that the state legislatures had to do these things. But then we had judges who went back and overruled your state legislators, and we allowed all that to stand. That was a problem. And then you had the states who actually filed a lawsuit that went up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, yeah, we're not getting in the middle.
Hang on a second. I just got a text from Mark Cox.
This just in.
He said, this is a disaster in the making.
I love the fact that Mark Cox listens outside of the morning show.
He does. So now I got to really dig into this, because why is it a disaster? Because I haven't seen anything yet that would suggest that to me. But I trust Mark Cox, so I'm going to listen to him.
What day are you on Mark's show?
It was this morning. He said, we should have talked about this morning.
Hey, Mark, thanks for stealing content from me, man. Come on. I don't have a lot, brother, when I'm filling in. I need this one. So I appreciate you bringing this up. Brad thinks.
What do I think? I'm doing producer stuff over here.
Sorry.
Mike.
So Brad is reminding me that this has been a great discussion and we need to wrap it up. And we will check back with further episodes of Weekends America to find out where we are on this. Probably on the Mark Cox Morning Show, because, you know, Mark's more important than I am. And I don't blame you. Hey, my name is Mike Elam, playing Annie Fry today on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.